Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on not only another awesome Sunday night, but Palm Sunday night. So that's exciting. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week, and I hope you've been getting prepared for this week ahead of us, Holy Week, where we reflect on and commemorate the passion and death of the Lord and then his resurrection. And so it's an exciting time, and it's also a thought-provoking time, because those of you that know me know that I always say, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there. And we'll have much more to say about that next week when we do the resurrection / Easter Sunday show. And I like calling it Resurrection Day because it's also the Hebrew Feast of First Fruits. And Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And that was not random. And we'll explain that maybe next week, if we get a chance, or maybe we'll do another show on it, because it's so important to understand that when you study Torah, that all these things prefigure Jesus, right down to he rises from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And then later, St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that he's the first fruit of the resurrection. So, well, I don't want to get off into that now, although I'd like to do that. But tonight we're going to talk about Palm Sunday, because after all, it is Palm Sunday. We're not going to do all these scripture readings, because I'm sure that if you went to church this morning, you heard Palm Sunday scriptures, and don't want to repeat all that, because these are generally all pretty well known. Palm Sunday was an incredibly powerful afternoon. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And it was an event we're going to see that was planned from all eternity. And it's another, well, several fulfillments of the Old Testament, of the Tanakh, that all came together on this particular day. And just to kind of get things started, since everybody knows what happened on Palm Sunday and sort of the sequence of events that went on, we're going to start with the Old Testament passage that prophesies Palm Sunday. Yes, there was a prophet who prophesied Palm Sunday, and his name was Zechariah. He is one of the minor prophets. He's one of the 12, as he's called in Hebrew. There are 12 minor prophets, all in the same scroll. They're minor in the sense that they didn't write a lot, but what they wrote was pretty powerful. Zechariah actually has quite a bit, actually wrote quite a bit. But tonight we're going to look at Zechariah 9, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. And listen to this, if you've never read it, and I suggest you go back and read it for your homework. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was written, of course, about 500 years before Palm Sunday happened. Maybe a little more than 500 years. But it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this is the approach of Messiah into the holy city. And he's coming on a donkey. And it's not even an adult donkey. It's a colt. It's a young donkey. It's maybe a teenage donkey. It's not even an adult. And he's coming with authority and power. So after a long wait, the king is coming to you, Zion. Finally, after all the centuries, in maybe a millennia and a half or so, of Torah, historical literature, wisdom literature, prophets, all of the Tanakh, all of the Old Testament. And you know, Tanakh is not really a word. It's an acronym that stands for Torah, prophets, and the writings. Everything pointed to Messiah coming. Everything pointed to Jesus, Yeshua, being Messiah. So this is the approach of Messiah into the city, prophesied 500 and some years before, riding on a donkey. He has authority. Later he's going to say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has authority. He has power. And he's coming into the city on a donkey. And what are the people supposed to do? They are supposed to shout. He says, shout and rejoice. Why? Because he's bringing salvation with him. He's not just coming into the city because it's almost Passover and he's coming for the pilgrimage feast. You know, Passover was one of the three pilgrimage feasts where you had to go to Jerusalem. Every man had to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't just coming to observe the festival. He was bringing salvation with him. And his name, Yeshua, means salvation. This is why the angel Gabriel told Mary to name the baby Yeshua, because his name is salvation. He's the God of salvation. He's bringing salvation with him. And so you are supposed to rejoice. You're supposed to shout. You're supposed to yell Hosanna, which means come and save us. And we're going to see that that's exactly what the people did. So he had, as we know, emptied himself and was a servant, you know, following the prophetic writings of Isaiah 53. He was meek and he was humble. He was a servant. He emptied himself. He was about to undergo a brutal, horrible period of suffering and death and blood, because this is how sin was to be forgiven. This is how we can be saved. This is how we can go to heaven. So he had emptied himself. He was a kind and a loving savior. And not only did he empty himself, but he comes into the city riding an animal of service. A donkey was kind of the common people's animal of service. You didn't have a horse in those days unless you were wealthy. You know, a king is supposed to be coming into the city riding a big, white, strong horse, all decorated with the royal stuff. And is supposed to be accompanied by soldiers, all riding beautiful horses, decorated with all kinds of royal things, with weapons and so forth, a procession of a king. But this was a different kind of a procession. This was a small donkey. No one had ever ridden on it. It was a service animal. And he's the king. He has a kingdom which is not of this world, but this is how he comes into his city. Jerusalem, of course, is the place where God set his name, as the Bible tells us. And he said, I set my king on the holy hill of Zion in Psalm 2, verse 6. And so here comes the king to the holy hill of Zion, riding on this little donkey. Hardly a royal procession. This is so important that this event's mentioned in all four Gospels. All four Gospels talk about Palm Sunday. And we have to have, well, before I get into this, you know, talking about royal processions and things, this is the only time that Jesus rode in a procession. The only time that he rode in triumph of a sort. There weren't heralds and there weren't trumpets and, you know, there weren't chariots and fancy horses. But he comes in a procession of people that we're going to get to in a minute because he's bringing salvation with him. This was much different than his second coming is going to be. Very shortly, he's going to come back, and he's not going to be riding on a little donkey. He's not going to be meek and humble. He's not going to be riding with this little crowd of followers. This was a much different coming into the city. And we know in the scriptures, that especially in Matthew's scripture, Matthew's gospel, it sounds like there wasn't really a lot of preparation made for this. It sounds like it was kind of quickly put together. You know, he says, go into the village and you'll see this donkey tied up. Take the donkey, bring it over here. If anybody says anything, you say the master has need of it. And I'm sure that when it was over, they took it back. I'm sure they didn't keep the donkey. But it sounds like this was kind of quickly done, which is such an interesting idea because all of the glory of his kingdom, which was of another world, all of the glory that he came from, he had all authority on heaven and earth. He was, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, he holds the whole universe together. Everything was made by him and through him and for him. And also in Colossians in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul talks about how the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, and he has to borrow the animal. He doesn't even have a donkey. You know, it kind of takes you back to 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 8, where it says, for our sakes, he became poor. He didn't have a donkey of his own. He asserts his authority to borrow the donkey. He says, if anybody says anything, you tell them the master needs it. And, you know, we'll send it back to you, but we're just going to use it for a couple hours. You know, and then the gospel goes on to quote the passage I read from Zechariah 9:9. But the second person of the Trinity who has all this authority and all this power to hold the universe together borrows a donkey. Like he borrowed a stable, he borrowed a manger. He borrowed the little house that Mary and Joseph had. He didn't own anything that was his. The prosperity preachers will never talk about this. Never talk about this. He had no place to lay his head. He didn't have anything that was his. So this quick preparation that was made, and then what ensues from here, we realize that this event of what we call Palm Sunday, and we're going to get to why it's called that, because it fulfills another Hebrew feast. This event that we call Palm Sunday was planned from long before creation. In Revelation, it tells us the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, the plan of salvation was made before anything was even created. So this Palm Sunday afternoon was planned in the distant memory, probably before creation, and it unfolds. And Zechariah told everybody to rejoice and to shout out. Well, there were multitudes that came. They lined the streets. Now, the Pharisees didn't come. The Pharisees and the learned people, they didn't come. They hated this. They didn't line the streets. They didn't shout Hosanna. They were mad. They were upset that the common people were welcoming this teacher, this rabbi, with such honor and fanfare and worship, really. They couldn't even stand it. Jesus is honored by the lower people, not the religious leaders. In fact, this shows you that everybody's soul is valuable, not just the soul of a religious leader. In this case, the religious leaders didn't like it. The religious leaders kept people from coming to him. You know, they had already decided that if you profess Jesus to be the Christ, you were thrown out of the synagogue. That was we would know that concept of as excommunication. You know, nowadays, in our day that we live in, if somebody was excommunicated by a church, nobody would even care. Nobody would even realize it. But if you were thrown out of a synagogue, this was a big thing. This affected your social standing. It affected your business. You were shunned by people. So if you proclaimed Jesus to be Messiah, you were thrown out of the synagogue. But these people came, common people came, and they paid honor to him. And one of the things they did was to cut down palm branches and wave them. Now, this is a celebration, and it's interesting that it mentions palm branches. Now, when do we see a feast that is celebration and branches, including palm branches, are raised or waved? And of course, that's the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, where you put a palm branch, a myrtle branch, and a willow branch, and you wave them before the Lord and you praise God while you're waving the branches. Here, they have palm branches, and they not only line the streets with them, but they wave the palm branches and they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They quote from Psalm 118, verse 25, about Hosanna, shouting Hosanna. Hosanna means come and save us. It means save us now. And they call him Son of David, which is the main messianic title that Messiah is going to have. And so the people that are waving the palm branches and saying Hosanna to the Son of David are saying, we are worshiping you because you are Messiah. You don't wave palm branches in front of people to honor them or to have some kind of admiration of them. It's a sign that you are worshiping. In fact, if you read in Revelation, when we're in heaven and wearing our white robes, we're going to be holding palm branches. Because the Feast of Sukkot prefigures all this. The Feast of Tabernacles prefigures all this. We're going to be waving palm branches in heaven. Well, these people waved palm branches on earth at the eastern gate of Jerusalem and the approach to the Temple Mount. And they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, 26, the next verse. So they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they say, you are the Son of David. You are the Messiah. You're bringing salvation. Come and save us. And they're saying, blessed is this man because he comes in the name of the Lord. This is mind-boggling. They're welcoming, they're not only welcoming in the Messiah, but they're welcoming the kingdom of God here in a physical way. In a physical way. You know, Psalm 72 says that all nations are going to call him blessed. You know, nations, the Hebrew word is goyim, it means Gentiles. So David prophetically writes, even Gentiles are going to call him blessed. David wrote, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These people on Palm Sunday quoted, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And David writes, even the people in the nations, the non-covenant people, are going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and we're still saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as Gentiles. Pretty remarkable. Also rooted in the Feast of Sukkot. So everybody in the city was moved. There were different people. There's always multitudes of people. There's always different kinds of people in each multitude that you see. You know, these people were worshiping, waving the branches, saying Hosanna to the Son of David. Then there were some other people that say, who is this? Who is this guy? Now, that's interesting because here's the Messiah. Here's the king coming into his city. Here's the Holy One coming into the holy city. And people are saying, who is he? Who is this? Isn't that remarkable? You know, when Jesus, little Jesus, is presented in the temple when he's 40 days old, the prophet Simeon says he's the glory of Israel. So the glory of Israel is coming into the city. They say, who is this? You know, in the book, The Song of Songs, you know, it refers to people who are other beloveds. Jesus is the beloved with a capital B. But people have other beloveds. People walk and say, I don't know who this is, but everybody seem, these people seem to like him, but I don't know who he is. The common people knew who he was. They knew who he was. In Luke's description, it's interesting because this is in Luke chapter 19. Let's read 37 through 40. Then, as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Father. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Woo. So, remember, at the top, near the top of the Mount of Olives, in this very same chapter, he wept over the city because he knew the city was going to be left desolate. When Messiah was rejected by the leaders, rejected by the important people, the city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The people were exiled throughout the world. He foresaw this and he wept. So now as he comes down the Mount of Olives, people are giving him praise for all the glory they've seen. Now look at 39 and 40. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Rabbi, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So this praise was going to happen regardless of what the Pharisees said. They sarcastically say to him, Rabbi, make them stop this. They're saying that you're the Messiah. They're saying you're the Son of David. They're saying you're bringing salvation. They're saying you're coming in the name of the Lord. You make them stop this. And he answers them and says, even if these people all shut their mouths, the stones would start to praise. The stones would start to praise. Because this was a day when Messiah was going to be praised. And they even say glory to God in the highest, like at the Nativity. Like at the Nativity. And, you know, later he talks about how the stones were going to praise, but 5 days later at the crucifixion, when he died, the stones did react. There was an earthquake. So the stones, the earth was involved in all of this. But he was going to get praise from the people, which he did, or he was going to get praise from the disciples, from the followers, from the common people. They didn't necessarily understand this, but it says later that later on the apostles understood what he had meant, what he had meant by this. They understood what this was about. And I want to get, I know the time is ticking away, and I think I only got about a minute, but I want to make the connection that this day of Palm Sunday also happened that day because it was the day that people went to buy a lamb for the Passover. If you didn't have a lamb of your own, you went to buy a lamb in the city because by sundown that night, you had to have a lamb at your house. You had to tie it up at your house for 4 days. And then it was slaughtered and the blood was put on the doorpost. So while people were buying a lamb, the true lamb, capital L, was riding into the city. the priests had to make sure that the lambs that the people had were unblemished and were perfect, but they rejected the perfect lamb, the unblemished lamb, the true lamb that was riding into the city bringing salvation. All this happened on Palm Sunday. That's why it's so exciting to know the scripture and to get all of this background. So, I know the music's playing. So I hope you've had an awesome Palm Sunday. And we'll be back again next week to talk about the resurrection. So this week, I want you to get yourself prepared. I want you to pray and think about this. And we'll go over this in another week. Have an awesome week. God himself will